Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, May 1st, and coming up in today's episode, Congress and BJP clash over caste census credit. Supreme Court rejects plea for probe into Pahalgam attack. Delhi High Court slams Ramdev over Hamdard targeted ads. And massive wildfires force evacuations near Jerusalem. Israel appeals for help. We will have the first caste-based census of independent India this year, a concept that was pushed passionately by the likes of Rahul Gandhi and Akhilesh Yadav ahead of Lok Sabha election as well as Haryana and Maharashtra elections. But they are the opposition and now the ruling government has announced the census for this year. So who gets the credit? Well, each party is claiming this caste census announcement is an achievement of their party leaders. Also, many have argued that despite opposing the opposition's push for caste census, during the general election, the ruling alliance NDA could have made this decision now with the upcoming Bihar election in mind, where caste is a major political force. Meanwhile, outside the Congress headquarters in Delhi, a large poster has gone up showing Congress leader Rahul Gandhi, and who is also the leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, as the winner in this credit battle. The poster put up by Congress leader Srinivas BV claims Mr. Gandhi forced the government's hand. It reads, "We said Modi ji would have to get a caste census done. We will get it done. The world bows down. You need someone to make it bow down." The Congress has been vocal in demanding a caste-based census for years now. Rahul Gandhi posted on X, quote, "We will ensure the government gets a transparent and effective caste census done," and congratulated supporters and organizations that backed the demand. In response, the ruling BJP and NDA alliance says Congress is wrongly claiming the credit. Union Minister Dharmendra Pradhan said today, and I quote, "Some people are falsely claiming credit. Jawaharlal Nehru was strongly against caste-based reservation." He also accused Congress of shelving the Mandal Commission report and failing to act during their own governments. Union Minister Ashwini Vaishnav said, "The decision was made to protect the country's social fabric. Caste enumeration will be included transparently in the census to strengthen our social and economic structure," he said. Meanwhile, Congress Chief Mallikarjun Kharge reminded people that the Prime Minister once accused opposition parties of dividing the society for demanding such a count. He also said the government now needs to back the announcement with proper budget support. Telangana Chief Minister Revant Reddy took a swipe at the Bharatiya Janata Party. Speaking with NDTV, he said, and I quote, "Our demand resonated with the people. I congratulate them. They adopted our suggestion." Telangana is one of the two states, along with Bihar, to have already carried out a caste survey in the recent years. Other opposition parties have also joined in the credit battle. Rashtriya Janata Dal leader Tejaswi Yadav called it a victory for socialist leaders. Supriya Sule from the Nationalist Congress Party, Sharad Chandra Pawar, also welcomed the move. But the BJP and NDA leaders, including Chirag Paswan in Bihar and UP Deputy Chief Minister Brajesh Pathak, insisted the credit should go to Prime Minister Modi. Mr. Pathak said, quote, "He comes from a backward class and rose to the top. Congress had many chances but did not act." The Supreme Court today rejected a petition seeking judicial probe into the recent terror attack in Pahalgam, Jammu and Kashmir, which left 26 people dead. The court made strong remarks while turning down the plea, questioning the purpose behind filing it. Justice Suryakant, visibly displeased, asked, "Is this the way you want to demoralize our forces? Since when did we get expertise for this investigation?" The court made it clear that issues of anti-terrorism and national security are not matters for judicial inquiry, unless there are exceptional circumstances. Justice Kant also said, and I quote, "Be responsible before filing such PILs. You have a duty towards the country as well." The bench asked whether the petitioner had considered the possible impact on national morale, especially as security forces prepare for a response. The terror attack in Pahalgam has raised tensions between India and Pakistan already. India has blamed the Resistance Front, a group linked to Lashkar-e-Taiba, which operates from across the border. Pakistan has denied any role in the attack and called for an independent investigation. However, what remains the truth is that 26 civilians were killed in Pahalgam on April 22nd, quite brutally, shot point blank almost. Meanwhile, the United States has encouraged New Delhi and Islamabad to de-escalate tensions and maintain calm heads. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke with both Indian and Pakistani leaders on Wednesday. In a call with Indian External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar, Mr. Rubio expressed sorrow for the victims and said the United States stands firm with India in the fight against terrorism. According to a statement from U.S. Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce, Mr. Rubio urged both countries to work together and lower tensions and maintain peace in the region. Mr. Jaishankar later posted on social media, "Perpetrators, backers and planners must be brought to justice." In a separate call with Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, Mr. Rubio encouraged Islamabad to condemn the attack but cooperate with any investigation as well. Mr. Bruce added, "The secretary urged Pakistani officials for cooperation in investigating this inconceivable attack. The U.S. has not assigned blame publicly to anyone but has reaffirmed its commitment to counterterrorism and called for restraint on both sides." The Delhi High Court is highly displeased with Ramdev once again in the battle of Ramdev versus Hamdard ads. The Delhi High Court today slammed Ramdev after it was informed that he has once again published a video containing disparaging and discriminatory remarks against the herbal drink Ruhafsa, which is an apparent violation of the court's earlier directive in which the court had asked Ramdev to take down any offensive acts that might be present on Patanjali's channels online. Justice Amit Bansal, who was presiding over the case, said the conduct of Patanjali, a founder, demonstrated that he was not in control of anyone and lives in his own world. The court had earlier barred Ramdev. Justice Amit Bansal, who is presiding over the case, said the conduct of Patanjali founder Ramdev demonstrated that he was not in control of anyone and lives in his own world. The court had barred Ramdev from issuing any public comments, advertisements, videos targeting Hamdard National Foundation, India, or its flagship product, Ruhafsa. For some background, Hamdard had filed a lawsuit against Ramdev for defamatory ads against its product Ruhafsa, while promoting his own brand of rose syrup that could be seen as a competition to Ruhafsa. Ramdev chose a rather offensive marketing tactic to promote his cold drink. In its ad, Ramdev claimed that the money made by the Muslim-owned Ruhafsa would go on to fund madrasas and bad activities. He also claimed that just like the alleged conspiracies of land jihad and love jihad, there would also be something called Sharbat Jihad, in which he said that if they give money to Patanjali Rose Syrup, they would be giving money to Patanjali Foundation and not some madarsa, mosque or any Muslim community. Justice Bansal has now said, in view of the lost order, his affidavit as well as the video are prima facie in contempt. "I will issue a contempt notice now. We are just calling him here." Which means that not only did Ramdev did not take down the previous videos, he went a step further by adding new offensive videos to his roster. The High Court during the hearing on April 22nd had observed that comments made by Ramdev in the promotional video shocked the conscience of the court and were indefensible. The bench warned Ramdev's legal team that if immediate corrective steps were not taken, a stringent order would follow. In response, Ramdev assured the court that all related online content, including advertisements, social media posts, would be taken down without delay. Despite the court's previous order and written undertaking, Hamdard's legal team presented material on Thursday morning, suggesting that Ramdev had once again released a video containing similar objectionable content. Senior advocates Mukul Rohatgi and Sandeep Sethi, appearing for Hamdard, contended that the video was a clear breach of earlier directive and amounted to deliberate contempt of court. Mr. Rohatgi said this amounts to hate speech. He says it's Sharbat Jihad. He should carry on his business. Why is he troubling us? Mr. Sethi alleged that Ramdev's comment targeted religious identity of Hamdard founders and should not be protected against under right to expression. Senior advocate Rajiv Nair, representing Ramdev and Patanjali, countered the arguments by stating that Hamdard was not the custodian of religion and that Ramdev was merely expressing his opinions. Mr. Nair insisted that his client had not named any specific brand or community in the controversial video and reiterated that Ramdev did not intend to cause communal discord. This is not the first time Ramdev has been on the receiving end of the court's ire. During his misleading acts for coronavirus, diabetes and even cancer, and his tirade against Western medicine, he had gone to Supreme Court and had to issue an unconditional apology for the same. Large wildfires have broken out on the outskirts of Jerusalem, forcing Israeli authorities to evacuate thousands of residents within just 24 hours. The fires, which erupted on Memorial Day, a national day of remembrance for fallen soldiers, are being described as some of the worst in the country's history. At least 13 people have been reported injured so far, though there have been no fatalities. In response to the crisis, Israel has appealed for international assistance. Ukraine was the first to confirm the dispatch of firefighting aircraft. Spain, France, Romania, Croatia, and Italy have also pledged to send help. Even as Israel has asked for help from neighboring countries, it is currently at war with all of its neighbors sharing a land border. Israel's war against Gaza still rages on, despite ceasefire agreement earlier this year. The Gaza Health Ministry claims over 40,000 people have been killed and cities like Rafah have been bombed and razed to the ground with no shelter left. Israel has also been accused of stopping intentionally aid going into Gaza, which could be food, medicines or water, for the survivors. The other neighbor, Yemen and Lebanon, allies of Palestine, also share a decade-long conflict with the Israeli state. Videos and images shared on social media show flames spreading along the hills near Route 1, the main highway between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Thick smoke has blanketed the area, and some drivers were seen abandoning their vehicle and fleeing the flames. More than 160 firefighting and rescue teams have been deployed, and dozens of aircraft, including helicopters, are involved in efforts to contain the fire. The Israeli military is also assisting with the search and rescue operations. However, dry weather and strong winds are making the firefighting efforts difficult. The fire in the Jerusalem hills may be the largest there has ever been in this country, said Shmolek Friedman, commander of the Fire and Rescue Services, Jerusalem District. We are far from having control. Our activity will continue for a very long time. The Israeli Air Force has joined the firefighting efforts using C-130J Super Hercules aircraft, each capable of carrying up to 18,000 liters of fire retardant. Two planes have already dropped materials over affected areas. So far, nearly 3,000 acres of land have been burned. As a result of the fire, Israel has cancelled Independence Day ceremonies, including the main state event in Jerusalem. A recorded version of the event was screened for the public instead. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued a warning saying the western wind can push the fire easily toward the outskirts of Jerusalem and even into the city itself. That's all for today. You are listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.